Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to Tuesday. Tuesday of a Thanksgiving week, which means it's almost like Wednesday, but we're not going to play the camel yet because this is not truly hump day. We still got to play that on Wednesday. Either way, it's Tuesday. And JP's on the board. Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Doing good. I feel we got to play the Taco Tuesday sound effect, though.
Taco Tuesday, go for it.
But more importantly, y'all know what today is, right?
Yeah. Nice. Thank you for reminding me. It is indeed Taco Tuesday. Outstanding. All right. Hey, listen, we got a great show laid on for you. I chose specifically not to have guests today because I want to unpack some stuff in more detail. So I'm just going to be wearing out some topics about what's happening with our southern border, which means I'm just going to jump right on in and say, hit me some triple dipper like right now.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. First out the gate, war with Mexico. What? Did he just say? Yes, that's what I said, war with Mexico. I don't mean necessarily per se that we are in a shooting war or going to be with Mexico, but I'm going to tell you right now, nothing's off the table. There are some people south of the border that are doing everything they can to make life in America more difficult, even more dangerous. And it's interesting what's happening right now. The dynamic has shifted. The rhetoric has certainly ramped up. And I'll tell you about some new things that happened just today where the president of Mexico responded to the incoming president of the United States. And we're looking at a trade war? I don't know, but I got news. Right now, we have a border war going on. And we want our border secured. And we expect some help from the people that share the border. So number one, triple dipper, war with Mexico. Oh boy, there's a title for you. Number two, I'm not done with this topic. Did you know? I almost had this separated out or put into the same dipper I just did about the war with Mexico. I decided to make this a separate dipper all by itself. Did you know that there is an American company from Alabama that recently had its assets seized by the government of Mexico for no other reason except that Mexico wants their land? What? Yes. That's what's happening right now, as Mexico is nationalizing the land owned by Vulcan Materials of Alabama. We're going to talk about it. I've got an entire dipper dedicated to it. Mexico seizes American assets. That's number two on the triple dipper. And then number three, I'm going to change the topic finally. I'll get through most of the show, and if we have time for it, I intend to do what I'm calling the lawfare armistice. The lawfare armistice. Have we finally reached a place where they've found their quiet spot, their happy place, the place where everything goes calm like this never happened? Listen, it should never be allowed to say this never happened, but I will tell you this. I think we're reaching the armistice, the peace agreements. The lawfare against Trump is finally winding down. We'll talk about all of that as number three on the triple dipper. All right, let me jump into the Right Side Way monologue. And let me start with this. I'm going to be on the same topic about Mexico, all right? But serious question. Let me ask you to start this way. Serious question. What if I told you that your neighbor's house was being threatened? Like armed intruders, squatters, vandals, and thieves. You name it. You look out the window and you know immediately there's a threat right next door. What would you do? Would you sit idly by? Would you gawk out the window and take videos on your smartphone? Would you call 911? Would you arm yourself and go next door? I mean, it's an issue that I hope none of you ever have to face. Having your own home violated is more than disconcerting. It's an invasion of privacy. Watching it happen across the street is also one of those things where you have to take a measure of yourself and decide if you're going to get involved. It takes away like a sense of security. But what if I told you in that same analogy, that rhetorical question about what would you do if your neighbor was being attacked? What if I told you that it was the government policies that was actually incentivizing people to go into your neighbor's house and do as they please? What if the neighbor's crisis was because the mayor of the city had invited armed intruders, squatters, vandals, and thieves to come to your town? What if the mayor had said to the armed intruders, squatters, vandals, and thieves that, quote, our house is your house, mi casa su casa, and they took him at his word, literally, and came to your neighborhood with ill intent, but with an invitation? Sounds far-fetched? It's not. It's exactly what's been happening right now on our southern border of the United States. It's exactly what has been going on for the past 4 years of the Biden administration. An incursion by people who have literally been told that our house is your house, mi casa su casa, so come on in. I've watched videos from ranchers on the southern border who can't take their trash out now without being armed. Communities on our southern border have been devastated by illegal immigration. Crime across the country tied to illegal aliens is a daily news headline, and unfortunately, too many people are getting numb to it. It's heartbreaking. But they were invited. And despite all that we've pushed for, despite the obvious impact that illegal immigration has had on the recent red wave elections for Trump and others around the nation, the fact remains that some elected officials just still don't get it. Like the mayor of Boulder, Colorado, who just said that he would gladly go to jail if necessary to resist Trump's incoming border security policies. Multiple blue state governors have said they don't intend to cooperate and they will continue their sanctuary policies to include the border state of Arizona via liberal governor Katie Hobbs. The city council of Los Angeles, they just voted last week to declare themselves a sanctuary city. So armed intruders, squatters, vandals, and thieves still have an open invitation from much of the elected Democrat leadership. And by the way, these are our neighbors. Other states and cities, those are the neighbors of our states and cities, and they are continuing to face this crisis. And a change is not just needed, it is imperative. It's desperate in some places. But here's the thing. In the past, it was just the opposite. The nation did not sit idly by. It was a question of national security, national sovereignty. It was neighbor watching out for neighbor. It was states watching out for states. And Alabama has been in the mix many times. So you may have heard me mention before about the 167th Infantry, a legacy unit with deep tradition and long history right here in our own Alabama National Guard. One of the highlights of my 30 years of uniformed service was to serve as the battalion commander of the 167th Infantry, known throughout much of its history as the legendary 4th Alabama. That unit has more battle streamers on its guide on than most any unit in the entire U.S. Army. It has service dating back to 1836. It's got battle scars from every war our nation has fought for the past 185 years. There's a statue built on a battlefield in France near a place called Croix Rouge Farm, and a similar statue located near Union Station in downtown Montgomery to honor the 167th Infantry from Alabama. There's a bridge in Birmingham named for their service in World War I. And Rainbow City, Alabama is named that because in World War I, the Alabama boys from the 167th, they were attached to the 42nd Infantry, the Rainbow Division. I got a picture on the wall of the office of in my office of the men who served from Etowah County, Alabama, upon their return from World War I. And two of the men in that photo are wearing Distinguished Service Crosses on their uniform. That's second only to the Medal of Honor. They were legendary in battle. The 167th Infantry. General Plummer said of the Alabama boys, he said, "By God, in a time of war, send me all the Alabamians you can find." Now, I've talked about them on the show before, but let me ask you this. Did you know that they played a part in securing our southern border over 100 years ago? So stand by for some history. You see, in 1916 and early 1917, the 4th Alabama was still a state militia, sort of a National Guard unit back then. But then came the border wars with Mexican bandit Pancho Villa, and the 4th Alabama was called up, federalized, and then permanently redesignated as the 167th Infantry. They participated in a nationwide call of National Guard units to federal service for guard duty along the U.S. border with Mexico in Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. They were positioned there as part of the U.S.-Mexican Border Service, and after a raid on Columbus, New Mexico, by forces under the command of Mexican Revolutionary General Francisco Pancho Villa, they had to act. See, people forget that American communities were actually raided just over 100 years ago by Mexican bandits, and the Mexican government was no help. Pancho Villa, he led an army of about 1,500 guerrillas. They came across the U.S. border, staged a brutal raid against a small American town of Columbus, New Mexico, and Villa and his men killed 19 people and left the town in flames. President Wilson, he determined to destroy Pancho Villa, and he ordered General John Blackjack Pershing to lead 6,000 American troops into Mexico and capture Villa. Reluctantly at the time, Mexican President Carranza agreed to allow the U.S. to invade Mexican territory. So for nearly 2 years, Pershing and his soldiers chased the elusive Pancho Villa on horseback, in automobiles, and with airplanes. and the American troops had several bloody skirmishes with the rebels, and Alabama's 167th Infantry, formerly the 4th Alabama, was right there with them. The 167th Infantry then went basically from the Mexican border straight to the battlefields of World War I. Some say it was their time on the southern border that prepared the 167th for combat in Europe and the hardships and the military order and discipline they got. The ability to shoot, move, and communicate. They became heroes, like I said earlier, on the European battlefield. But the larger picture here, and the reason why I tell that story, is that aside from acquainting you with a part of your own state history, was that there was a time when the federal government was willing to go to war to protect the southern border of the U.S. And to call the states to help, and the states answered. And some say the mobilization of the 167th actually became the catalyst for moving Alabama into the next century, as so many young men who had never been outside their own home counties now saw the whole world. They fought for freedom and they returned home with honor, and it started with their service on the Mexican border. See, American communities had been harmed and they were living under real threat, and it was seen then as an invasion. It was seen then as a destruction of the sense of security and sovereignty that every U.S. citizen has a right to expect their government to ensure. Armed intruder squatters, vandals, and thieves coming across our border. But back then, they were not welcomed. Back then, the idea of a sanctuary city or a sanctuary state was antithetical to common sense. Still is. And we resisted their efforts and we hunted them down. It's not been that way for the past 4 years. And don't misunderstand what I'm telling you as a desire to go to war with Mexico in the physical sense. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is this. We got to take it more serious than we have. There was a time when we did not look fondly on the idea of people coming across our border and having their way with our citizens. And yet, for the last 4 years, it's been an open door policy. In what seems to be a blatant and really intentional effort to blur the lines of national borders, the Biden administration has failed to provide even a hint of care and concern that one should expect them to provide. So, I don't know how else to say it. I mean, I'm pragmatic. I don't jump on conspiracy bandwagons. I look at facts. I assess, and I cannot deny what I am seeing. Taken into all context of all the actions and inactions of the Biden administration over the past 4 years, it makes the lack of security at our southern border appear to clearly be intentional. Right down to the fact that they even nominated someone to head up the Customs and Border Patrol who had a history of supporting sanctuary cities. VP Harris was named the border czar, never went to the border. Customs and Border Patrol officers were overwhelmed. States like Texas are having to take unilateral action. Actions which, by the way, often resulted in Texas then being sued by D.C. Federal aid to assist impacted communities, pretty much non-existent. Border wall construction, stopped. And of course, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has taken no more crying photo ops because she doesn't want to bring attention to what her own people are doing. So if you, like me, actually care about what happens at your neighbor's house, then you got to agree with me that we must not sit idly by. We must venture across the property lines to assist our neighbor, because if the danger to your neighbor goes unchecked, eventually it comes to your house. We must secure that southern border, and I believe we will. We've done it before. We'll do it again, because without a border, you got to question whether we really have a nation. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, Alabama's been on the border, man. The Bama boys, they showed up down there in force, did a great job, and went straight to World War I from there. My point in telling that story, though, is there was indeed a time when incursions on the southern border and threats to communities were not taken idly, and they certainly didn't have sanctuary status. In fact, we took action to make sure it stopped. Wouldn't it be nice to see that again? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Got the text lines open. Text it or call it. Same number for both. It's 833-687-4448, otherwise known as 833-68-RIGHT. Let's see what some of y'all had to say here. Shorty from Anderson says, hey, Phil, excellent monologue. We all know the reason why Joe Biden and Harris opened up the borders is because they thought it was going to go in their favor to somehow get all these illegals to vote Democrat so those two knuckleheads could remain in power, and that backfired on them, and now Donald Trump once again has to clean up the Democrat mess. Bam. Nothing to add to that. Wiley from Gunnersville says, Phil, great monologue. We have to be ready and able to do whatever's necessary to secure our border and evict those who are here illegally. My great I guess there's three G's. I guess he means my great-great-granddaddy is buried in a cemetery in Marshall County and has a Mexican War headstone. How about that? He was with the 3rd U.S. Dragoons, and he fought at the Battle of Cerro Gordo in Mexico. Wow. He says the written account of that battle is quite interesting. He survived, returned to Alabama, started up farming again. I don't know what the future holds, but I'm ready, he says, at 67 years old, to earn my Mexican War headstone if necessary. God bless the USA. Wow. Thank you, Wiley. Appreciate you, man. Allie from Athens just checked in, and she says, I will tell you this, Colonel Williams, it was my time living in the middle of the Juarez cartel that got me ready for the deserts of Iraq. Don't forget, General Pershing used to strap the bodies of Pancho Villa's men on the hoods of cars as a psyops measure. By the way, you did not mess around with General Blackjack Pershing. If things were today the way they were back then, let's just say DEI wouldn't have a chance. John from Huntsville says, Phil, spectacular monologue. Also, did you hear that a judge is going to allow a biological man to remain on the San Jose State women's volleyball team? By the way, I love how he does all these things.
Also, texts. By the way.
Also by this. The way, there's other things. Here's five other things. He says, I predict JP is going to be sad tonight after Alabama loses to Houston in basketball, but then I predict that he will be happy after the college football playoff shows that Alabama is still number 12 in the playoffs.
No shot, unfortunately. I think they'll be around 14 or 15. No shot they're still in right now.
Oh, Lord. Just steeping in deep right now. We might ought to do JP on sports tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true.
We might for Thanksgiving weekend.
And before Iron Bowl weekend, we got to.
Oh, yeah. Iron Bowl weekend.
Man, I'm kind of worried. I'm not going to lie.
Man, I'm kind of excited. I'm not going to lie.
Now we got Auburn with some momentum going in the game. Alabama lost all this momentum.
Yeah, but then Bama comes back mad. They're playing at home.
Yeah, that's true. We'll see. I think it'll be a good game, though.
You know what, though? You should never try to make a living being the predictor of the Iron Bowl.
Oh, no. Especially at Jordan-Hare.
Especially at Jordan-Hare, where, as we both know, Coach Saban said that place is haunted.
He's right. It's definitely haunted.
Scott from Somerville said, how great would it be to see the FBI or ICE raiding Sacramento to arrest Newsom? Great monologue. You know what? We'll wait and see. But right now, there is a threat against the mayor of, I think it's Boulder, Colorado, who came out and said, I'd rather go to jail than to help Trump with his deportations. And Tom Homan said, we're happy to serve. All right, I got more text messages and I got stuff. Are we going to war with Mexico? My gosh. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about Alabama, y'all, Alabama. I mean to say, this show goes like, whew, way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. We cover a lot of ground. Jeff from Indiana just texted in. He says, Taco Tuesday. He said, Taco Tuesday, what are you saying to me, Jeff? He says, anyway, you got a rack of ribs. That looks a whole lot better than the fried truck stop fish you keep sending us pictures of, man.
He's saying Taco Tuesday, my butt. This is a rack of ribs Tuesday.
Gotcha. I was trying to figure out why my butt was written in the middle of all that. Now I understand the phraseology. Okay. Yeah, Jeff, man, them ribs are looking fine. Fine. Can we have a rib day? What would you have? Rib day Thursday? I don't know what we do with that.
It could be rib day every day.
It could be rib day every day. Like the other day, you and I ate barbecue, and I went to, you ever had the rib sandwich? They scrape the meat off and make a rib sandwich out of it on a soft bun.
How similar is that to the McRib?
That is not the same thing. That is not at all the same thing. The McRib is like fake meat grown in a lab. Sure. It's like saying that, you know, aged oak is the same thing as plywood. No, it's not the same thing. Okay.
I've never had one, so I'll take your word for it.
James from Bucksville says, I just lost it. Where'd he go? James from Bucksville says, my grandfather, Philip Skinner, served with the 167th in Mexico, also in France in World War I. How about that? He says, in Mexico, they had Cadillac cars with 30 caliber machine guns. And he did. I've seen pictures. Then in World War II, Granddaddy served with combat engineers in North Africa on a B-24 airbase. Man, thank you for your grandfather's incredible service. That's very cool. And James, thanks for passing it on. By the way, thank you to Janet Johnson, who just commented on our YouTube stream. We appreciate you, Janet. So, by the way, that begs the point. Got to say it before I go too much further. I'm about to wrap up the text messages and move into the Dipper. But do know this. If you are watching the show live online, you have multiple choices. Don't ever think that you're out of range, because you're never out of range. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. That's why we have like Marshall from Dubai and Rayson from Hawaii, Jerome from Rome. These folks all watch from different places. Live radio, that's our hub, but we are streaming online everywhere. You can get us on YouTube. You can get us on Rumble. You can get us on Twitch. You can get us on two different Twitter or X accounts, which is @_media or @SendPhilWilliams. So all said and done, we're everywhere. And if you go to those places, just look up Right Side Media. And remember that Right Side is one word, Right Side Media. And do us a favor and click subscribe, so you'll always get notified if we're going to be on. But it also helps us grow as a company, because there's things we have to hit certain marks to be able to allow to grow on those platforms.
Yeah, we have a goal of getting to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, which we are currently at 631. If you haven't yet, we'd appreciate you subscribing to the YouTube and also following the Right Side Media Twitter, like you said, at @right_media. Doing that would help us out a lot.
Nick from Harvest says we ought to have Right Side Rib Day.
There you go.
I like it. Well, I don't know how we fit this in, but I'm for it, man. Find me a barbecue restaurant and make that a sponsorship.
Yes.
We'll just call it. Pick the day you want, sir. Yes, Right Side Rib Day. We'll do it. And you and I just sit here and eat ribs on the microphone.
I'm down for that.
I'm okay. Butters from Rainbow City's checking in. Is that Butters?
Yeah, it is.
Butters is saying JP ought to flog himself for that McRib comment.
Hey, man. You know, just, like I said, I've never had one. I'm out of this.
Butters is chiming in, wearing you out. Last two texts, and I have last three texts. Mike from Florence says, not only is so little being done to keep illegals out or send them home, there's also the issue of so many making it so easy for them to be here, like issuing license. Oh, you're in my business right now. I'm going to be talking about that in a minute. He said, issuing licenses to illegals, license plates either directly or through a third party, all Spanish-speaking commercials on English-speaking channels, propaganda through the mainstream media in Hollywood, and the list goes on. Mike, you are so correct, sir. Last two texts. By the way, he just said, Mike from Florence had that thing about the driver's licenses for illegals. I'm going to be on that here in just a minute. Bruce from Springville says, according to your monologue, how about we charge the politicians that allow sanctuary cities as an accessory to each crime the illegals commit in their jurisdiction? Stand by, brother. I think we're about to see some of that. And then last one, thank you very much. Badger from Athens says the McRib returns on Monday. Does it really? The McRib comes back on Monday?
Hey, it makes a return, I feel like, at this time every year, so that wouldn't surprise me. But I take it you won't be taking up, what is it, Burger King on that?
No.
Yeah.
it's McDonald's, but no.
Oh, it is McDonald's? See, I don't even know.
It's McDonald's. Now, on a dare, I might.
On a dare?
Yeah.
I have to meet a McRib. Oh, just, no.
Don't throw me in that briar patch. It's all in the sauce, man. Don't even worry about the meat. The meat, just pretend that it's real. There you
pretend
go.
Pretend that it's real.
Yeah, it's like, okay, tastes like chicken. Why is that? Can you offer, says Grace from Madison, an explanation for why can the president have the power to keep open borders for 4 years and Congress have no authority to stop it? Well, first of all, you had Democrats in Congress that controlled Congress for most of that time. What happened to balance of power? A lot of it was done by executive order, and the security of the nation is Congress. Congress can defund things, Congress can authorize things, and then the executive branch can even slow roll the efforts to do that. So it's you got to have pretty much a joint effort. But right now, much of what can be done and should be done is directed from the executive branch, which controls the Department of Homeland Security, which controls the Customs and Border Patrol, which controls, you know, all the assets necessary, and technically already has the funding authorized by Congress for those things. So much of it is vested in the executive branch. And I suspect what you're going to wind up seeing is Trump is going to ask for Congress to authorize certain things like border wall funding and stuff like that. So Congress authorizes and appropriates, and then the enforcement and the action required comes from the executive. Let's talk about a war with Mexico. What am I talking about? First of all, the Mexican government is getting a little pissy, if you will. They have been feeling their oats for the last few years. Kind of saucy, kind of feeling like they got it going on. Like we're your biggest trade partner. You can't push us around. You can't be asking us to do all these things. Well, by God, yes, we can. So first of all, do know this. The news never stops about the impact of illegal aliens making themselves known in our borders. Case in point, I'll start with this one, and I'm asking you, don't let yourself get numb to this, all right? That's a key point. Don't let yourself get numb to this kind of a story. I pulled this one off Fox News Dateline yesterday. A very beloved pastor in Detroit was out for a jog this past week, and he has just succumbed to the injuries he sustained when he was hit by an illegal alien. He's 72 years old. By the way, 72 years old, he's out for a jog. I hope I'm doing that at 72 years old. But at 72 years old, he's out for a jog. He was wearing a reflective vest. He was in a crosswalk, and he was hit by a man who ran through a red light. The man was not here legally in the country. On November 8th, 2024, he was declared brain dead, taken off life support. He survived for 5 days. The Oakland County Sheriff's Office, which is part of the Detroit area, confirmed in a press release that a 28-year-old Colombian national driving a 2013 Ford Focus is the one that hit the 72-year-old man while he was crossing Rochester Road in a suburb of Detroit. U.S. Customs and Border Protection confirmed the driver entered the U.S. illegally and was released pending a future hearing. He had a valid driver's license, which is a valid form of, he had a valid foreign driver's license, which is a valid form of ID in Michigan. Let all that sink in. And by the way, think of it this way. It's not just that it happened. It's that it happened on the far other end of the United States from where the guy illegally crossed the border. Think about that. He crossed on the southern border. He was detained. He was processed and he was released and he killed a man in Detroit, thousands of miles away. He had a foreign driver's license, which, it points out, is considered valid forms of ID in Michigan. Why? Why? If you're here illegally, why are you accepting what they bring with them illegally as their ID? Why is it okay for him to drive around and break the laws and kill a man who is much loved by his community? Why? And we should not get numb to this. But that just happened in the last few days. Now, having said all that, I wanted to set that stage because I wanted to put a firm tone on top of what we're talking about. Because the southern border, I think it's almost, I said it a minute ago, don't get numb to it. I think it's almost gotten to the point that there is so much news surrounding illegal immigrants that it's like you can get lost in it. People are so used to it now. It's like this happens on a regular basis and people are like, it's another story. I'll go on, it's the southern border again. Yeah, it's the southern border again. It's every freaking day with the southern border. Every freaking day under the Biden administration, we have been inundated with people coming across the border. But Phil, some of them are good people. I don't care. The reality is if they came here illegally, they immediately became a resource drain on our systems. I love immigration. I have naturalized citizens in my family, who I love dearly. And you know what? They came here the right way. And they went through all the processes and they embraced being a citizen and they've assimilated into the culture. And they didn't come in and create a subculture trying to hide from the law, looking for who's going to give them something and then stretch the resources of the nation that they scurried into. And the latest reports right now are just mind-numbing. I don't know if you've been seeing it or not. You're probably not seeing it on anything except for Fox. But the latest videos coming off the southern border are showing as young as 2 years old walking across by themselves. By themselves. My youngest grandchild is 2 years old. She's just being potty trained. I cannot even imagine little bitty just coming in by herself. She's dos años, estidos llenados. That's all she knows. She's 2 years old. She's going to the United States.
And she had a phone number and
yeah. had a note pinned to her chest or something with a phone number and a name on it. Who does that? Rational people in any culture do not send a two-year-old on a journey by themselves. Are there good people that came across the border? Probably. Are there some just looking for a better life? I'm sure there are. Are there some who are looking to take advantage of our system? A lot. Are there people who came here with criminal records and did more crimes than they got here? Yep. Should we have to put up with all of it? Nope. We shouldn't. So Trump has now vowed, to put tariffs on Mexico. Story when we get back from that break. So here comes a potential trade war with Mexico. Will we feel it if that really happens? Yes, we will. Are we already feeling it? Yes, we are. Maybe it's time for Mexico to feel it back. Let's take a break right now, JP. I'll come back when I tell you I've got a story or three on this. I do. Trump is pledging tariffs on Canada, and Mexico, and China. Go figure. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll cover it all. Be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Pulling pins on truth grenades in here. So, Trump has now come out and said, I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper, war with Mexico. At the very least, we've got what I would call cross-border incursions coming in from their side. And I'm going to be real clear when I say that I am not looking for a force-on-force fight. I don't think we're ever get to that. I don't think there's going to be a true war with Mexico. But I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out that the Mexican government starts looking around and wondering why drug labs are blowing up. I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out that the cartels don't suddenly have, mysterious men in balaclavas carrying automatic weapons showing up at their back door the other governmental associations, the acronym agencies and or SEAL Team 6 to just, get a practice run. All that to say, there's going to be some drastic action, I think, taken. I don't think we can sustain what we've been enduring for the past 4 years without having drastic action. And one of the drastic actions is, and keep in mind, let me back up. Keep in mind, dime. I've said it before, but dime. Diplomacy, information or intelligence, that's the I, military and economics, DIME. That's the full force of a nation can be brought to bear using that acronym, DIME. So if you've got the ability to have diplomatic efforts coupled with intelligence that gives you reason to believe you've got certain things you can go with and use as leverage, the military is always an ace in the hole, and then economic pressure. If you can combine all of the above, you tend to wind up having more leverage. Biden has taken pieces of that. Biden's been working with D sometimes, M sometimes, E sometimes. You don't do it that way. You want to bring the full force of dime to effect all at once. Well, part of that right now is Trump is telling them, you will face a brand new day. Our border will be secure. He has threatened to use the military if he has to. I don't think he's going to truly have to, but he may have to augment with some National Guard. I don't know. But right now what we're looking at is on the E side of dime, Trump is vowing an additional 10% tariff on China, 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico. You know why? Because of fentanyl and human trafficking and cross-border incursions. Trump's telling China, you're looking at 10%. If the source of fentanyl being China does not slow down, you're looking at 10% tariffs on everything you send. 25% on everything from Mexico and Canada. Mexico and Canada are our two biggest trade partners. But I do believe they need us more than we need them. Does not mean it won't hurt our economy. Right now, already, you've got the market starting to react. There are market reactions to the idea of anything occurring, so they're going to spike no matter what. But Mexico being the largest trade partner of the U.S., followed by Canada and then China, on Tuesday, Mexican president, by the way, do you know the Mexican president's new president, now female, is named Claudia Sheinbaum? Why does it feel like a New York Jewish grandmother just became president of Mexico?
That does not sound like a, the name seems off.
Claudia Sheinbaum.
Sounds like German or, does not sound Mexican.
I wait for her to grab the microphone and go, Oy vey, you gives me such a pain, you should know. You must shug and I get over. Eat your gefilte bread. Stop with your schvetting. No more of your schvetting with me. Stop it. Claudia Sheinbaum.
This is right.
That's funny. Oy vey. Okay. Tuesday, Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum. You're going to use that as a video now, aren't you?
Yeah, maybe.
Claudia Sheinbaum signaled that her country was prepared to respond to any new tariffs from a Trump administration with retaliatory tariffs of its own. That's called a trade war. All right. Tariff for tariff. Restrictions for restrictions. Burdens for burdens. Trade wars. Blockades. Yes, I see it. I don't think it's going to get to that. I think that very quickly they will realize that the upper hand comes from the U.S. But it does not mean we won't have some pain in the meantime. However, I will say this. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has apparently already spoken to Trump right after that was announced. Trudeau's response? It was a good call. He said, this is a relationship that we know takes a certain amount of working on, and that's what we'll do. Thank you, Justin.
I find it funny that Mexico wants, like, they don't have the moral high ground to do. I mean, obviously, they're going to really put tariffs back, but it's like, you know, we're trying to stop your cartels from, you know, sending in all this fentanyl, and it's, I just don't get where they find that they're in a position they can do it back rightfully.
Yeah.
That's just me, though.
That's not just you. That's like everybody.
Yeah.
Trump did say it on Truth Social. He declared on January 20th, as one of my many first executive orders, I will sign all necessary documents to charge Mexico and Canada a 25% tariff on all products coming in the U.S. Markets reacted swiftly. The U.S. dollar climbed against the Mexican peso and the Canadian dollar, but U.S. stock futures dipped. Economists predict that tariff hikes could stoke inflation and disrupt supply chains. I'm sure that's true. Guess what? People are dying right now because of all this. When we get back, I'm going to tell you what's happening with the mayor of Denver. And oh, by the way, what did Tom Homan say? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on a Taco Tuesday. Although we are debating how we can rename it like the Rib Tuesday or something. I don't know. We're going to Right Side Rib Day.
Right Side Rib Day. I think that's got a good ring to it.
Bring it on. Give me a rack of ribs. Let me go to the phones real quick because he held on during the break and I want to honor his time. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Other than the theoretical hangover over the Army Notre Dame game, but otherwise doing well.
Theoretical hangover, I understand.
Right. So, but beyond that, I'm just sitting there apprehensive of certain tariffs because if we're going to do that to Mexico again on that. If we start sending everybody back that crossed their border into the U.S. and they didn't first stop them, are they going to charge us a tariff on everyone we send back?
That's going to be...
It, sir. Y'all have a good one.
Happy Thanksgiving, bye. Brian. Wow. Charge tariffs on who we send back. I don't know. I think that's called a free export. I think either that or we find a way to charge them. By the way, I'm going to be serious when I say this. Here's how we put the pinch on them. Do you know what one of the largest, I'm asking you, JP, do you know what one of the largest sources of governmental revenue is for the nation of Mexico?
Is it food related?
No.
Wow.
It is money wired home from the United States.
Huh.
People who come here and work and then wire money home for their families to live on.
Yeah.
Is I want to say it's like the fourth largest source of revenue to the entire country.
That's crazy.
We need to look it up and verify, but I did a thing on this some months ago. But if you found a way to shut that down and or tax it or make it more difficult to send money back to the countries people are crossing over from, I guarantee you there would be a public uprising. Just saying.
Yeah, likely so. And, I mean, also, not even tariff-wise, but militarily, which I don't know if you're going to go into that at all, but going after the cartels militarily is something also that I think will be in the mix for this new administration.
Yeah, I said that a little while ago about I'm not going to be a bit surprised to see that very quietly and without much fanfare, suddenly drug labs start blowing up in the jungle.
Yep.
You're just going to, in tunnels, start being destroyed. And next thing you know, drones are being shot down. And then, oh, by the way, maybe drones are crossing over the other way. And then, you know, I am not going to be a bit surprised to find out that a building suddenly collapses in downtown Mexico City with a targeted strike from a, you know, I've seen buildings in Baghdad that were leveled in the Shock and Awe campaign, and leveling that one did not touch the one next to it. We are that precise with our precision munitions.
Wait, you mean that the Trump administration is not going to have the Border Patrol have to call Homeland Security and get approval before shooting down a drone? You mean that's probably going to stop?
I have a feeling it's going to be a whole new day.
Wow. That just seemed logical to me.
And by the way, I am fully aware when I say that kind of thing, I do understand the ramifications of armed conflict in a friendly allied nation, because technically they're an ally next door. They are also doing everything they can to ignore our needs and to allow us to hurt. That being said, what's going to happen? Here's what I imagine. Let's go ahead and tell you what. I'm taking it aside. I set down my notes. Here's the way I imagine this happening. I fully expect that you're going to wind up seeing Customs and Border Patrol being given a great deal of new authority and lifting of the rules of engagement. Not deadly. I'm just saying that they're going to be allowed to shoot down drones. They're going to be allowed to cave in tunnels. They're going to be allowed to interdict. They're going to be allowed to turn back. And then you're going to see remain in Mexico. And then you're going to see a wall. All those things are going to happen, and they're going to be visible, and they're going to be on this side of the border. But then I also believe this. I think in terms of dime again, I think one of the diplomatic pieces is going to be that the U.S. State Department declares that the cartels, the drug cartels, are considered enemies of the state and are foreign terrorist organizations. That immediately changes the dynamic. What that does for us in a legal framework is allows us to seize their assets. It allows us to freeze bank accounts and to put restrictions on foreign trade. Like, for instance, if there's a bank that is banking with the cartels and holding their funds and does not freeze them, then that bank faces sanctions from the U.S. government, and they don't want that. So this is the way we started shutting down Al-Qaeda's framework around the world. This is the way we began shutting down things like the Chechen rebels and others that were doing things that were so incredibly heinous. This is how we began shutting down ISIS. You shut off their cash flow, they can't buy weapons, they can't put beans and bullets in front of their fighters, and it changes the whole dynamic. Then, when you've got a hostile force who continues to act badly, and they've been named as a sponsor of terror, they're also fair game. And a targeted strike, an interdiction, bringing somebody to justice. Think about what we did with Panamanian dictator Manuel Noriega. I'm not saying we're going to do an armed incursion and launch the Ranger Regiment and the 82nd Airborne down to Mexico. I'm not. But I'm saying it would not be a bit surprising to me to someday see the head of one of the major cartels showing up in a courtroom in New York City because he was snatched one day from his drug lord mansion by Delta or SEAL Team 6. It's not beyond the realm of possibility. Because once you change their status, and Biden has not been wanting to do this, once you change their status within the overall dime framework, the cartels suddenly become an enemy, and you're allowed to do certain things, legally speaking, but the proclamation has to be there to give the executive branch the authority to then use the military to do those things, and to use the State Department to do those things, and then to use the Departments of Commerce and all the others to do these things. So yes, there is a means and a mechanism. And yes, I do think it's going to happen. I think it has to happen. I think the cartels have been operating with impunity. But we are also, by the way, there is also precedent for this. Just go look up Pablo Escobar. I am proud to say that I am personally acquainted with retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. He's been on the show before. He is one of my heroes. But Jerry Boykin is one of the founders of Delta Force. Retired as a 3-star general. Read his book. It's an amazing story of his life as a really godly man who, by the way, was a war fighter. That man's a warrior. He has been in, I can't tell you how many conflicts. One of his claims to fame, if you will, in the special operations community is he led the hunt for Pablo Escobar in Colombia, I believe. We went down there and hunted down Pablo Escobar. There's no reason why anyone should ever believe that that kind of thing wouldn't happen again.
By the way, simply just announcing that maybe those forces will be going after the cartels will cause a lot of cartel members to conveniently become restaurant owners and out of the cartel after that. You know, just simply that announcement may cause some terror and people to stop what they're doing.
It's amazing what happens. And I've got stories in my stack here that this dipper, this may be a one dipper day the way we're going, but the way things are going right now, we're already looking at like Springfield, Ohio, with all the Haitian migrants. They're suddenly dispelling. They're starting to move out because they realize that they've massed themselves in one place that makes themselves a target for deportation. What happens is they're beginning to self-deport also.
Exactly like that. And that right there, you can't tell me just from that alone that the Biden administration hasn't been worse on the border. Like, you know, the Democrats like to claim that it was factors outside of Biden's control. The fact that they are already deporting themselves because Biden's about to dip out, I think that tells you all you need to know there.
Well, Biden's about to dip out and Trump's about to dip in.
Exactly.
Yeah, because they are. If this was Harris taking office, they'd be laughing.
They would be telling all their family members to come too.
Yeah, it's great over here. They give you a free phone. You get a debit card. It's all good. You get a foreigner's driver's license. It's cool.
These Americans are crazy. What are they doing?
I don't know. They let you live in a hotel. They pay for everything. There is a story, though. I will say this. Claudia Sheinbaum, the new president of Mexico. I'm still trying to get over Claudia Sheinbaum. Oy vey. Still doing that. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum is signaling, though, that significant policy changes are on the table. What's that mean? Well, she got a cordial call with President Trump. It was cordial. But apparently, we understand that he immediately brought up the border. And there's a belief that somewhere in there, he made it known that the border policies better change, because one of the things that may happen is that, the intel we have on the cartels being embedded with Mexican government, it may just become common knowledge, like public knowledge. Woo-hoo! Okay. Now, some of these chuckleheads that are still, you know, like they can't read the room, like these elected officials that believe that nothing's changed. It doesn't matter that we lost the election and everything went completely in a different direction. Doesn't matter at all. For instance, Denver Mayor Mike Johnson. What the heck? So I've seen Governor Pritzker of Illinois. I've seen the governor of Massachusetts. I've seen the governor of Arizona all say they intend to resist the efforts of the Trump administration to deport people. Now you've got Denver Mayor Mike Johnson saying he's willing to go to jail. I'm willing to go to jail to resist. Well, your terms are acceptable, sir. That's pretty much the response. In fact, Senator Rand Paul, he did a Face the Nation interview, and he said that he supports Trump's effort to deport murderers and rapists. He says, I'm 100% supportive of this. Go after those 15,000 murderers and 13,000 sexual assault perpetrators and rapists. Let's send them on their way. He said, but we've had a longstanding distrust of putting the army in our streets. We need to do it through normal domestic policing, if at all possible. And I agree with that. But then he said, the mayor of Denver, he said, that claim is a form of insurrection of his own. Because the mayor of Denver is saying that he would mobilize his police officers to obstruct federal authorities. I'm going to bet there's some of his police officers that would say, I decline to follow that order.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck with that. Mm-hmm. But then Rand Paul says, I suspect that he would be removed from office. I don't know whether there'd be criminal prosecution, but he will lose. He said, people need to realize that what he is offering is a form of insurrection where the states resist the federal government. And this is not the heavy-handedness of D.C. coming in. This is Washington, D.C. trying to fix what states are breaking and that is causing people to lose their livelihoods. All right, when we get back from this break, I'm going to play you a clip from Tom Homan himself. That guy, I'm telling you right now, he's down at the border right now feeding troops. He's up on the screen feeding troops down at the southern border. Love that. Giving him a Thanksgiving meal. Listen, this is what we need. We need a Tom Homan. I mean, the old man's coming in like daggum tombstone walking to OK Corral. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right. So I'm going to finish this up sort of. Keep in mind, there's another Dipper coming that you're going to want to hear. Did you know that Mexico is actually seizing American assets in Mexico? Yes, they are. And I'll tell you all about that. It's an Alabama company. That being said, let me jump back on the war with Mexico, the securing of our border. What do we have to do? What's it going to take for sanctuary cities to quit inviting people across our border? So I got a clip here from JP. I'm going to call for audio one. This is the Tom Homan clip. This is an interview that Tom Homan did on Fox News with, I believe, Brian Kilmeade. And I'm going to start it about partway through. It's a little longer than I would normally play. It's going to be like about a minute and 45 seconds. But it's, you know, it's one of those where it's so rich you can't just turn it off in the midstream. So go ahead and hit it.
So today you're going to be at the board with Governor Abbott. What's the objective?
Well, we're not waiting to January 20th. We're already planning what we're going to do to lock down the state of Texas. Governor Abbott's done a great job so far. Look, illegal crossings in Texas is down over 80% because of great work by Governor Abbott. And he's been successful because he has taken the Trump policies and put them to work. He's put border barriers and walls up. Walls work. President Trump proved that. He has consequences. He's arresting people and charging them that cross the border. Consequences work. So and everybody he arrests, every illegal alien the troopers arrest is one less gotaway. So at least they know they're being fingerprinted and they're not a national security threat. Every ounce of fentanyl his troopers seize is less of overdose deaths in this country. So we're going to build upon his success. I guarantee you the Trump administration isn't going to constantly sue him for trying to secure the border. Exactly. We're going to partner up and help him do 100% security on his border. And we're going to do that across the southwest border.
They are building a wall in Texas. They bought the land and they're building a wall. Is this wall going to be up to your standard? Is that what these states have to do?
Well, look, if you want to secure the border, you got to put up border barriers. We approve border barriers work. You also got to end catch and release. We got to put the Remain in Mexico program back in. You got the third safe country agreements. Congress needs to change the asylum laws, but I'm not counting that to happen. So President Trump's going to have to come in with executive orders like he did the first time. President Trump was a game changer with Remain in Mexico. He had the lowest illegal immigration over 45 years, illegal immigration down 90%. And Brian, the example of this two-year-old, when 90% less people are coming, how many children aren't dying crossing that border? How many children and women ain't sexually assaulted? Yeah. So look, President Trump's policies work. We're going to do it again. This time we're going to finish the job.
All right, stop there. I love the opening of that. We're not waiting till January 20th. He's not. You know, he's down there today. That interview was, I think, yesterday. And he is down there today with Governor Abbott serving Thanksgiving dinner. Do what?
It was this morning, I was going to say. That interview was this morning.
Was it really? Mm-hmm. Okay, that shows you how timely my resourcing of the show is. But he's down there right now. He's not even in office yet. And he's down there right now. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is exactly what's been needed. Homan is not playing. And he also said, by the way, that they will consider that if they want to be sanctuary states, if Arizona doesn't want to contribute to the effort, and I don't mean like they have to pay the billions that Texas has paid out of its own pocket, so to speak, but Arizona needs to start cooperating. Arizona, Governor Katie Hobbs is talking about being a sanctuary state in spite of everything that her people just voted for. In spite of all the damage she can see, she's still pretending that being a sanctuary state is cool. And all that's going to come to a grinding halt, or we're going to see literally some officials facing actual punitive. If you think it's been lawfare against Trump, how about this? Maybe those who violate the law in their own office may wind up having to face repercussions from, you know, their own actions. All right, that being said, war with Mexico, trade war, that's already being threatened back and forth. Border incursions, that's already there. And there was a day, like I said in my monologue earlier, where we didn't take this thing lightly. We mounted up, went to the border, and did what had to be done to stop cross-border incursions 100 years ago. And right now we have sanctuary states, and we have Mexico threatening us with tariffs for daring to tell them to do their job. I got news. There's more of this discussion. Mexico is seizing American assets, and I'll tell you all about it when we get right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man. covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, the one I'm sitting in, don't argue with me, it's Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I got to catch up on some text messages. Y'all are some texting machines here on a Taco Tuesday. Tim from Madison says, I dare you, Phil Williams, to eat a McRib. Don't try and scare me now. I ain't scared.
You know what, Phil Williams? I dare you to eat some phenomenal tacos on a Taco Tuesday.
I like that challenge. Your terms are acceptable. Red from Tony, Alabama says, is it gonna be a McRib Monday for a few weeks? I don't think so. Marshall from Dubai is listening right now. He says, Marshall from Dubai says, Phil, I heard my name. It's like hearing Beetlejuice. He said, keep up the good work and have a blessed Thanksgiving. Thank you, man. Appreciate you. Jim from Grove Oak, Alabama says, Canada and Mexico need us a lot more than we need them. Let's go. There you go. Jerry from Decatur says, Trump's a businessman taking care of business in the Monroe Doctrine, airborne. Indeed, the Monroe Doctrine in our hemisphere. I'm just saying. Bruce from Springville says, another suggestion, the U.S. can freeze Mexican assets in our country and use those to pay reparations to victims and their families. That is not ungainly. I don't think that's a problem. Thomas from Athens says, there is a new sheriff in town to drop the dime, using my phrase, and a new border czar plus human assets to implement enforcement as needed. He says, P.S., y'all have a blessed Thanksgiving. We have very much for which to be thankful. Yes, we do. Brent from Addison, Alabama says, Turkey Tuesday. there's a lot of food suggestions in this show.
This is Turkey Week. I mean, it's Thanksgiving week, so.
It's tryptophan Thursday. Get that tryptophan from the turkey. Bert from Owens Crossroads says, tax all the outbound wire. That's what I was saying, outbound wire transfers. Tax them all at 75% unless it goes to U.S. citizens. This will cause some self-deportation to occur. The problem is you'll have an entire cottage industry of U.S. citizens going down there and being the recipients of the funds for a percentage and then doling it out. I say just tax it, period. If it goes out towards Mexico. And then you're going to have to also watch what will happen. All of a sudden, Amex and Western Union, trying what all the wire transfers for money is, but the sources are, but they'll start doing roundabouts. They'll start going first to this country, then to that country, and then back. They'll find their workarounds. But I'm just telling you right now, we can make it more difficult. Where we go? Brian from Huntsville says, "Why are Haitian refugees dispersing? A, they've exhausted their food supply. Yeah, no more cats and ducks. Just saying." John from Huntsville, please don't change Taco Tuesday. In fact, everybody should have turkey tacos tonight.
Okay. I don't know if I've ever had turkey tacos.
Have I had turkey tacos? I don't think I have. I've had chicken tacos. I've had fish tacos.
Not a big turkey eater outside of Thanksgiving, I must say. But, I mean, it's still good. I know there's a lot of turkey haters on Thanksgiving, saying that the meat's overrated. I wouldn't go that far, but, you know.
It's tradition, man.
It's tradition. Yeah,
you're
exactly.
You're eating tradition. That's what it is. I mean, if you want to get down to it, I'd just rather have a honey-baked ham.
No, I mean.
A steak.
Nobody's saying that has to be excluded, you know.
John from Lexington, South Carolina, on remittances. Thank you, John. That's what they're called, remittances. That's what they, okay. He says, during the 2020 census, illegals were counted. Those illegals were counted and those counts were used in congressional reapportionment. Thank you. Now, and the deriving of federal funds based on population, this is a powerful incentive to be a sanctuary state. Oh, I know. That's why we have to make sure that we change the census laws. Trump tried that before. But then he says, and on remittances, a percent tax that is proportional to the percent of the illegal population. Just finished my McRib. I like how he slid that in there at the end. Yeah. Do me a favor there, JP. Look up and let's see. Find out how much revenue in remittances goes from the U.S. to Mexico every year. I believe it's in the billions. While you're looking that up, I'm going to read the next text. Birch from New Hope says, random question of the day, is there something like the Liberty Score for our representatives in Montgomery? There are a couple of places where you can look. One is difficult to work with because Club for Growth has a different version of the way they do things, but they have a scoreboard. And then the Alabama Policy Institute, while I was there, we began doing a score of representatives. And I don't think they're doing that right now, but they did. So, yeah. What'd you find out, man?
Brace yourselves. It's a large number.
Okay. Hang on a second. I'm going to guess $32 billion. No? $84 billion.
A little less than that. Okay. $63.3 billion was sent in remittances. Well, excuse me. So, in remittances, I don't even know if I'm saying that right, were sent to Mexico in 2023, $63 billion, he said, with most of the money arriving from the United States, according to Mexico, Mexico's central bank. It says the figure is a 7% hike from the previous year.
Wow. Wow.
$63.3 billion in 2023.
$63.3 billion in remittances from people wiring money back to Mexico. Mm-hmm. Do you see in there what it says, what level that is in terms of the rankings of its, you know, national revenues or GDP?
I don't see that on here, but it says that obviously majority of that was coming from the United States. It said that rapidly grown since the pandemic, nearly doubling between 2020 and 2022.
Do a figure.
Said the average per transaction was $487 per remittance in 2023.
And they just go out. By the way, you watch. Now I've noticed this. I had never noticed it before until I began to be aware of what remittances are. But you'll be surprised how many times you go to, say, and I hesitate to say it, but like a Mexican restaurant, an authentic Mexican restaurant, and you'll see on the door the little symbol for, and I think it's called either Mexical or Amex or something like that, but it's one of the wire transfer services, and you'll see the sticker on the window because you can do it from the restaurant. So people will go in and actually hand cash and wire it out.
Wow.
It's an industry, man.
But this also, so the $63 billion was 2023, but this says that in 2022, it reached a 20-year high with the United States giving $59 billion in 2022 to Mexico.
God almighty. Wow. Wow. Okay. James from St. Clair County says Cracker Barrel fried turkey is outstanding. I have had Cracker Barrel's fried turkey, and yes, it is. We did that, by the way. You know, for Cracker Barrel, you can actually order your whole Thanksgiving meal. This is like a plug for Cracker Barrel, but you can order your whole Thanksgiving meal there. When our son was stationed elsewhere and could not come home for Thanksgiving, we arranged for him to pick up Thanksgiving meal from Cracker Barrel where they were. We paid for it. That was nice. We paid for them to have a big plate, like a large plate to take home. He got there, and somehow he'd gotten the wires crossed. I don't know if we paid for it or if they just gave him, but they gave him a family size. He had leftovers for a week.
That's nice.
And then Jim from Grove Oaks says, collards anyone? No. No. Collards were not meant to be eaten. Collards are the throwaway. That's like eating the greens off the top of the carrot. It's just all that is that that's the throwaway part. That's the part that God used to give energy to the rest of the plant. That's all that is. Don't be eating it. Right up there with snails and...
Snails?
Yeah. Right up there with snails and other things that God never intended people to eat. I have a theory that God laughs every time people eat snails. Then he's up there elbowing angels going, watch, he's going to eat it. Oh, they ate it again.
That's, I don't know how many people are going to have snails at their Thanksgiving dinner this Thursday.
Well, you'd be surprised.
Really?
the Richard from Madison says, the math on the remittances tells us nearly 130 million remittances were sent. Think about it. Okay, right now we have an estimated, depending on who you believe, let's just go ahead and round them, 13 million illegals have crossed over the border just since Biden took office, right? 13 million. If you figure that it takes 130 million remittances to reach the levels we just talked about, then that means that technically for each person crossing the border that we're aware of, they sent, what would that be? 13 million. You're 10. That's, no, 100, right? 100 times.
You're asking the wrong guy here.
A lot. It's a lot. And that's all that without eating a McRib. Just saying. All right, listen, we're going to start this next dipper here momentarily. I'm not done with the Mexico thing. And by the way, I don't have a total beef with Mexico. Like, I don't hate Mexico, but I'll be honest with you, you won't see me vacationing down there. I think that country has done more to harm us in recent years than ever happened with the Taliban in Afghanistan. And that's saying a lot because I went to war in Afghanistan. But what I am saying is Mexico has allowed things to happen to its northern neighbor, which is its biggest trade partner, with complete impunity and indifference. And then they'll try to say things like, well, if your people would quit wanting drugs, how about this? If we shut off the supply, then the demand becomes less. But when you flood the economy with anything, it becomes a thing that is winds up being, you know, having street value, so to speak. And that's where we are right now. Fentanyl, hundreds of thousands of Americans have died. Human trafficking, just crushing the souls of people as they come across the border, being trafficked into slavery and sex traffic, and then children. Gosh, we don't even know. We don't even know what's happened to 300,000 children since the Biden administration took office that came across, were processed, and then just sent somewhere. Somewhere. Does anyone even have a record, a piece of paper somewhere that says this is where they went? All these things are happening, and Mexico is got to bear some shoulder of responsibility, some shouldering of the blame, because they have to come through Mexico to get to us. And we know for a fact that Remain in Mexico policy helped stem the tide when Trump was in office, and you're going to see it. It's going to be in place again immediately. But all that to say, Mexico is also, and I did a thing on this, oh gosh, 6 months ago, about the fact that there are some portions of Mexico which are almost becoming failed states. And you couldn't pay me to vacation there. I've done a little time in Mexico, a little. I did a mission trip down to Reynosa across the southern border from McAllen, Texas. I did, a cruise where we had a shore excursion into the Cozumel area, and I went on an outings, around the region. All that to say, is it beautiful? Sure. Is there a lot going on down there? Sure. It's also a place where you would never. Right now, to me, every American tourist is a hostage waiting to just be. They're a kidnapping waiting to happen. It is not, in my opinion, a safe place. It's also, by the way, not been good to us, despite the fact that they gained so much from us. The remittances alone, $63.3 billion last year alone. People taking from the U.S. economy and wiring it back to Mexico. Or for that matter, the fact that we have great trade relations and there's a lot of our American companies that build things down there south of the border, and the auto industry in Mexico is one of the biggest industries they have. And where do they ship them? Mostly up here. All these things. Mexico's got to do a better job of being a partner in the Northern Hemisphere with us. That's all there is to it.
I was about to say, when you called them an ally earlier, part of me was like, are they really though? Because If Mexico hurled missiles across the border and killed about 70,000 Americans, we would consider that an act of war. Well, that's pretty much what they're doing with fentanyl. I mean, they killed about 70,000 people last year with fentanyl. Yeah. So it's just, they're very subtle and sneaky with it. It's not just them, it's also China. So it's just, I'm hesitant to call them an ally because they're not really acting like one. So
they're like a really bad neighbor.
Yeah.
It's like a really bad neighbor that constantly throws stuff in your yard, shot your dog, intercepts your mail, takes the occasional package off your front porch, and has loud parties in the backyard at night when you're trying to sleep. They're that neighbor. And why are we putting up with it? And I don't necessarily want us to go to war with Mexico, and that's not what I'm calling for, but I will be honest with you. Mexico is about to feel some heat. Let's put it that way. All right, we're taking a break right now. When we get back, I got to tell you, one of the largest producers of construction aggregates in the nation is Vulcan Materials, based in Birmingham, Alabama. And have you heard what Mexico is doing to them? If you haven't heard, you're about to get mad. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. Looking up on the big screen right now, in one of the big screens here in the studio, and Tom Homan, our soon-to-be border czar, is actually down at the border right now making remarks to the Border Patrol with Governor Greg Abbott. Clear indication that he's not waiting until January 20th. He's getting ahead of the game, and he's pretty much making it known what is about to happen. Which you and I talked about earlier, JP, is is announcing some things is already causing reaction in a positive way. All right, listen, we got a situation, and it's real. I'm going to date this back to March of 2023. So some of y'all are familiar with Vulcan Materials. Vulcan Materials is a Alabama-based company, and they are the nation's largest producer of construction aggregates, like things like crushed stone, sand, and gravel, all the things it takes to put together, you know, concretes and aggregates for, you know, making walls and whatever you got to do. All that to say, Birmingham, Alabama's Vulcan Materials Company is a member of the S&P 500, and they are a huge, huge factor in construction industry. They have had a quarry and a port that they built on land that they own in Mexico for 30 years. And in March of 2023, this is amazing. In March of 2023, a Mexican company called Cemex, and you said that's a Mexican version of Vulcan, right? They basically were, I think they were conducting operations at the Vulcan properties, is my understanding. But Cemex, right?
Yeah, you're correct. I'm trying to pull up an exact description. They are a Mexican multinational building materials company, yes, yeah, headquartered okay. in San Pedro.
Much the same as Vulcan is to the U.S., mm-hmm. Cemex is to Mexico, and they're also international. But I imagine they had a partnership with at some point with the folks from Vulcan. Vulcan built port facilities near Playa del Carmen. If you know where Playa del Carmen is, this is on the Caribbean coast. This is prime area. And suddenly, the Mexican government decided they really wanted that property. So with Cemex claiming that it should have had contractual rights to the property, which its contract had already expired in December of 2022, in March of 23, Cemex employees with armed Mexican police and military forcibly broke open the gates at Vulcan's port facilities near Playa del Carmen and began occupying the property. Just literally, the Mexican government aiding a Mexican company to take over a U.S. company's property. Vulcan quickly put out a statement saying there's no contract permitting Cemex's use of Vulcan's port facilities. Although the companies used to have an agreement, it had expired in December 2022. It had not been renewed. Rather than looking for a mutually agreeable solution, Cemex threatened to seek the aid of the Mexican government, including the use of armed forces, and did just that. Mexican federal court ordered Cemex to vacate the property. That's interesting. So the court said, you can't do this, fellas. Another Mexican federal court ordered the military and police forces to vacate the property. None of it happened. They maintain it to this day. So as the Mexican government continues its illegal shutdown, this is in March of 23. I'm reading this from a statement put out by Vulcan. The Mexican government continues its illegal shutdown of Vulcan's quarrying, processing, and shipping operations. Nonetheless, Vulcan owns the four parcels of property that make up its Mexico operations, including the port. So think about this. They spent an unreal amount of money to buy amazing amounts of land, built a major quarry on it, built a port so they can ship the materials out, and the Mexican government decided, I think we want that. And they took it from an American company. I'm telling you, it's getting thick. Wait till I tell you the rest of the story. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on a Taco Tuesday in a turkey week. Oh, that's all the food, man. Just throw me a McRib while you're at it. Let's just get it all in there. We're going to have McRibs. We can't talk about this much.
I know. I thought you didn't like them, but you keep bringing them up.
But as much as I'm talking about them now, I'm like, I have like this curious memory. I ate them before, but then I began to think about what they were and I stopped eating them.
Yeah.
But yet I still eat sausage.
That's true.
So, I mean,
hey,
just saying.
You know what? Maybe with RFK coming in, he can fix the McRib. He can make the McRib great again. How about that?
Oh, God. By the way, our show is so on point today. Right now, The Five is on Fox on one of the screens here in the studio. And the topic, Trump's opening salvo, Canada and Mexico coming to the table after tariff threats. I've been talking about that for the last hour. So I also talked about, right before we went to the break, I talked about the fact that in March of 2023, Vulcan Materials, a Birmingham, Alabama-based national, really international, producer of construction aggregates, you know, limestone, crushed rock, sand, all that, that Vulcan Materials was shocked to have the Mexican military, Mexican law enforcement, and a Mexican company seize their port and quarry operations in Mexico. That was over 2.5 years ago. No, I'm sorry. What? No, we're looking at a year and a half ago. A year and a half ago. Fast forward, October of last year. Mexico threatens to seize the Vulcan Materials property. Katie Britt, Senator Britt, wants Biden to stand up for the company. AL.com. Vulcan Materials and Senator Katie Britt were urging the Biden administration to protect the Birmingham-based company's employees and its gravel extraction pits that the Mexican government was threatening to forcefully seize. Now, they had already seized it, but what was happening was, in the interim, the Mexican government was talking about expropriating it, basically making it their own. Not like, we're taking over your operations and making sure they're safe and in compliance. No, no, no. That excuse, which was just thinly veiled, it was pretextual. That was a complete pretext for them to cut the locks on the gates, go in and seize the property. Well, we're questioning your permits. You issued the permits. We're questioning your ownership. We've had it for 30 years. Anyway. Katie Britt calling on the Biden administration. Did the Biden administration ever do anything? Do you recall that? No, they did not. Mexican President Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador, they call him AMLO, threatened to declare the property a natural protected area or seize it by force if Vulcan did not accept a $360 million offer for the gravel pits. Oh, wait. Oh, I see. Mexico was willing to pay for it. That's great. It's like eminent domain where they come in and they say, here's what it's worth and here's what you get. Except that Vulcan was like, well, screw you. It's worth $1.9 billion. And you want to pay us $360 million? And you're going to forcibly seize it if we don't take your money? How about no? So Vulcan said it estimates the value of the 6,000-acre property just south of the resort town of Playa del Carmen at $1.9 billion. Keep in mind, they invested hundreds of millions of dollars in this. Over time, they built an entire port for themselves. They have the operations there which ship out all over the world. But in March of October of 2023, the Mexican government seized the facility despite a court ordering it not to, and Vulcan said that the $360 million so-called appraisal does not even take into account the value of the whole business nor the value of the limestone reserves that they own. And, oh, by the way, this has been shown to be an ongoing NAFTA investment arbitration that they are just being abused in. Okay. That's happening. Can you imagine this? The Mexican government has just seized an American company's assets, made them their own. It hasn't stopped. Next storyline I've got here from Business Alabama magazine. Some of y'all are thinking, I've never heard this story. It's been flying under the radar, man, but it's legit. You got a $1.9 billion piece of property and a port built by an American company, owned by an American company for 30 years down in Mexico, and Mexican government decides they want it. May of this year, May 29th, 2024, Business Alabama magazine. Birmingham-based Vulcan Materials remains locked in a struggle with the government of Mexico over its facilities. The Biden administration didn't do diddly squat about this. Just let it ride. Why? Why would you do what? This is an American company. Who knows? Anyway, Mexico News Daily, an English-language Mexican news outlet, reported that the Mexican takeover of the property is now imminent, adding that the government plans to make it a natural reserve with rental cabins and cruise ship docking facilities. Oh, pray tell. They're going to turn it into a tourist destination. No, there was not some form of, you know, ulterior motive to this. They just were checking the permits and all that. In a statement in earlier that month of May of this year, Vulcan said, the company strongly believes this action by the Mexican government is illegal. The company has the necessary permits to operate and intends to vigorously pursue all lawful avenues available to it to protect its rights and resume operations. And then it goes on to say, the company has quarried limestone legally in Mexico on land that it owns for over 30 years. Vulcan has the right to maintain full ownership of his properties, owns the limestone reserves, and complies and has always complied with Mexican law, including the laws permitting our operations for which we service our customers both in Mexico and abroad. Y'all, this is an Alabama-based company. Can you look up something else? This is the thing now. I realize you can do this, so now I'm just like, hey, look this up for me real quick. See if you can figure out how many employees Vulcan Materials has. And then let's just get a feel for the size, if you can find that. Do you see something like that?
This says 11,437.
Wow, this is no small employer.
No.
Over 11,000 employees, one of the largest producers of construction aggregates like sand and rock and all that. Now, that was May 29th of 2024. Also in May of this year, Vulcan rejected Mexico's buyout offer. So the formal so-called offer went from 360 to, okay, we'll give you $385 million. And Vulcan said, go pound sand. No pun intended. Yeah, Birmingham-based Vulcan Materials, according to Alabama Daily News, in May of this year, rejected the Mexican president's campaign of criticisms and closures, as well as his offer to buy. President Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador, AMLO, offered to buy the American company's Caribbean coast property for $385 million amid a bitter years-long dispute that saw Mexican authorities seize the port quarry. Y'all, this is not the way good neighbors act. It's not. We'll fast forward to pretty much now. AL.com again. Bill Thornton wrote this one. In September of this year, U.S. Senators Tommy Tuberville and Katie Britt joined six other members of the U.S. Senate to introduce a bill that would impose penalties on Mexico if it attempts to profit from seizing a port facility owned by Vulcan Materials. So you've got Bill Hagerty of Tennessee, Tim Kaine, a Democrat of Virginia, Ted Budd from North Carolina, John Barrasso from Wyoming, and a few others are already among the sponsors of the Defending American Property Abroad Act. The bill would prohibit any vessel that had used a port, land, or infrastructure illegally seized from a U.S. entity by a foreign nation from entering a U.S. port. Okay, that'll do. You look at this and go, where's our Department of Homeland Security? And oh, by the way, where's our Department of State? And does the Biden administration, does he even know? Do you think he knows? Does he even care?
Does he even know where he is?
I don't know. Did you see him, by the way, trying to pardon the turkey yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Oh, brother!
I bet that was something.
It was a word salad, man. It was like I don't know if he knows. I think the turkey made more sense than he did. It was that bad.
Well, I saw he was somewhere speaking to military members. I'm not sure where, but he said he made a joke about how he had been fired.
Did he really?
Yeah. So
no kidding.
It's funny how he's letting it fly a little bit as we're coming to the end.
Well, I mean, he just had a big they called it a gratitude party or something like that, where he thanked all the people who've been working for him, kind of like a going away kind of party. And Kamala Harris didn't even show up.
Shocker. Well, at least hey, I gotta give props to that Biden's showing up to the inauguration. So there's that.
He is showing up to the inauguration. Mm-hmm. Good for him. He's probably going to wear a MAGA hat.
Yeah. He probably signed up to go to the inauguration.
Yeah. He's probably looking forward to it. I wonder if Kamala will go.
No. No shot.
No think so?
No shot.
No shot at all? Mm-hmm. All right. So the Mexican government, they're not done. All right. They're not done here with Vulcan. The Mexican government is going to not just declare that they can have something, but the outgoing president, AMLO, in one of those I'm leaving office and while I'm on the way out the door, let me sign this paper type things. Yeah, just about a month ago. With just days of his term in office remaining, according to energyresources.com, Mexican President Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador added another complication to the Vulcan dispute. He declared it to be a protected natural area. In other words, he labeled it as a place where quarrying can't occur, which it's been occurring there for 30 years. The September 23rd declaration covers more than 200 square miles in the Quintana Roo area and specifically prohibits activity, including extraction of construction materials. What he basically did was he said, what you're doing there is now illegal. So first he said, we want your property. Then he said, we'll agree to buy your property, but we're buying it on the cheap. And then he said, when they said, no, we're not doing that, pound sand, he goes, fine, then I will just take your property and shut down your operations. And then he made it one step further. As he left office, he said, and oh, by the way, I've just declared that whole area a protected reserve, and you can no longer conduct your operations there no matter what. So even if you get to keep this, now you can't use it. I mean, this whole thing was one of those biggest abuses of power I've ever seen. And folks, this is an American company. This is an Alabama company. This is a big, hairy deal. It needs to stop. All right, that's that for that, Dipper. We're going to take a break right now. When we get back, we may just have to play the WKRP turkey drop again, just for grins. You got it handy? You got it?
Oh, yeah. I bookmarked it.
All right. Let's come back and do a little WKRP turkey memory. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just like saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we got to take a break from all this. And some of y'all are already texting in about it. I see Chris from Gadsden. He's got the punchline already. I see it, Chris. We did this yesterday. You know what? We're going to do this. We're going to do this again today. And I think we're going to do it again tomorrow. To me, one of the most classic moments of Thanksgiving humor comes from WKRP in Cincinnati, which, by the way, I just created a brand new WKRP fan yesterday in JP, who watched this clip for the first time.
This will be only my second time watching it.
And I think the camera was on your face while you were watching it yesterday, was, yeah. And it was awesome. but yeah. So if you remember, I'll set the stage for you. So WKRP, the great sitcom, the radio station with characters like Johnny Fever and you know, Mr. Carlson and Venus Flytrap, and they're all a small radio station, and Mr. Carlson gets this great idea. He's going to do a promo. He's going to build up the radio station. He promises that there will be an opportunity for people if they will show up at a shopping mall, that he's got free stuff. And so the crowds gather. And Les Nessman, the intrepid reporter for news on WKRP in Cincinnati, is there to report live. Play it, man.
Now, it's a helicopter. And it's coming this way.
A helicopter?
It's flying something behind it. I can't quite make it out. It's a large banner. And it says, Happy Thanksgiving. W-K-R-P. What a sight, ladies and gentlemen. What a sight. The copter seems to be circling the parking area now. I guess it's looking for a place to land. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object. Perhaps a skydiver coming to the earth from only 2,000 feet into the air. No parachutes yet.
Those can't be skydivers. I can't tell just yet what they are, but... Oh, my God, they're talking! Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of my eyes! One just went through the windshield of a parked car! This is terrible. The
car is running around pushing each other. Oh, my goodness! Oh, the humanity!
The humanity!
The turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement. I don't know how much longer the crowd is running for their lives. I think I'm going to step inside. I can't stay out here and watch this any longer. No, I can't go in there.
Children are searching for their mothers, and not since the Hindenburg tragedy has there been anything like this. I don't know how much longer I can hold my position here, Johnny. The crowd.
Les, are you there? Les isn't there. Thanks for that on-the-spot report, Les. For those of you who just tuned in, the Pinedale Shopping Mall has just been bombed with live turkey. Film at 11.
Hang on, there's more.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Oh, that is so classic.
That's great.
Admit it, you want to go to YouTube now and watch some episodes of WKRP in Cincinnati.
It does look very funny.
It's a hoot, man. It's Johnny Fever spinning the hits in Venus Flytrap. But anyway, oh, God, that is hilarious. That Mr. Carlson coming in with that sad sack face and feathers.
Hair's a mess. His feathers all over him.
Yeah. Yep. All right. I hope that was a hoot for some of y'all. Joe from Athens checked in. He says, "How funny. I was just telling a customer about this episode earlier today." Joe, we got you covered, man. Chris from Gadsden saying, "As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly." Josh from Hayden says, "I wore out my radio listening to Right Side Radio. I'm thankful I got a new one. Happy Thanksgiving, Phil." Thank you, Josh. Appreciate you, man. Listen, we're going to switch gears. When we get back, I've got some stuff. We're going to take an entirely different tack. I spent the entire show right now talking about Mexico and the awful neighbor they are. They are the most awful neighbor. It's like, have you ever lived in an apartment and the people next to you were always loud and it comes through the walls and they were completely insensitive and they did not care? And it didn't matter whether, you know, you asked them politely to please stop. And next thing you know, they're actually walking in your door and getting stuff out of your refrigerator. And pretty soon they're hanging out on your balcony, smoking cigarettes that comes through your window. That's the Mexican border. That's our neighbor to the south, except that it's causing people to lose their lives. Got to get it fixed. Coming up next, we're going to switch gears. The lawfare armistice. Are we seeing lawfare come to an end? I don't know. We'll talk about it. Be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama, y'all. Alabama, I'm saying it and I mean it. And this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, I got a few more text messages, then I'm gonna jump into this last topic just to knock it out. Gary from Huntsville said, "Isn't it good that Thanksgiving traditions don't consist of giving away bowling balls?" Yeah, that would not have gone well. Although I think they would have known in advance not to drop the bowling balls.
Yeah,
just saying. Hopefully. I mean, it was already one of those you should have known better moments. But a bowling ball, I'm pretty sure that would have been a case of liability. Bill from Huntsville says, "My dad and I used to watch that episode. Wonderful memories." Yes, indeed. Brian from Huntsville says, "Turkeys falling. Oh, my God, the humanity." He called it the Hindenburg. Hindenburg. That's a great dad joke right there. All right, let me switch gears on you. All right, let's spend a few minutes here. Update you guys on something extremely important. So it's amazing what Donald Trump has had to go through. To be allowed to run for office like other people do. The level of lawfare, and that's a word, by the way, that I'm pretty sure was coined because of Trump. Just be honest. I don't think that lawfare, I don't remember lawfare ever being used or spoken, discussed, or made a segment on any radio show until Trump. It's the weaponization of the rule of law. And you'd love to believe that, you know, that the lady law actually has the blindfold on. But we have not seen that. The left has weaponized law to go after their political opponents like nothing we've ever seen. Okay, we all know that. But what are the updates? What's going on? Well, the most recent thing that just happened, and I'm talking about yesterday. Special counsel Jack Smith, according to Newsweek. Phil, did you go to Newsweek? I did. Newsweek. By the way, this is the most cursory. I read this article and it reads like somebody who doesn't even want to have to. It reads like Sonny Hostin on The View having to do a legal disclaimer.
That's a great metaphor right there.
Friggin' okay, I'll say it.
Fine.
But I'm not going to elaborate. So this article talks about all the cases. It gives you no background and gives you no commentary. It's like, this happened. Okay. Next one. This is happening. Freaking okay. Next one. That's the way this article reads, but I'm going to do it anyway. Special counsel Jack Smith's recent motions to dismiss two federal cases against Donald Trump have profoundly reshaped the president-elect's legal landscape. So here's what happened Monday of this week. Jack Smith, who is the special counsel appointed by Merrick Garland, the Biden administration, to basically prosecute Trump, had, if you remember, he had two cases. He had the classified documents case from the raid at Mar-a-Lago down in Florida. He had the January 6th conspiracy to overthrow the election processes case going on in D.C. The Supreme Court of the United States has already ruled that presidential immunity is not, by the way, that's not new. For the left, he goes, oh, great, he's now been given carte blanche. No, all they did was affirm what already existed. Thank you very much.
I was going to ask you, like, that's not a new thing, right?
It's not.
Isn't it like, yeah.
It's not a new thing. It's just not a thing the Supreme Court has ever had to speak to.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. It's like lawfare hasn't been used to where the Supreme Court has had to make that, you know, known and
yeah.
It's re-solidify that. But yeah, they act like you said, it's some new thing, but I didn't think it was.
Presidential immunity has always existed. Otherwise, people like Nixon would have been sued for going into Vietnam or you know, carpet bombing in Vietnam. There would have been any number of things that could have been brought on the Clinton administration for launching a missile at an aspirin factory. Mm-hmm. There would have been, Reagan would have been sued. I mean, and somebody who doesn't like what they did would have brought criminal charges. All these things would have happened before. But it was Donald Trump, so they decided to try it this time. Presidential immunity has always existed as a matter of course. The Supreme Court of the United States had to affirm it.
Yeah.
They didn't establish it. They affirmed it. And that's what happened here. So Special Counsel Jack Smith basically already had his Florida case on the classified documents was already dismissed by the court, and he was appealing the dismissal. That was already ongoing. Meanwhile, they got a liberal judge in D.C., on the question of January 6th with Trump, and that one was still moving forward, although it was facing some setbacks because the Supreme Court has spoken. Monday, Jack Smith dropped all charges in both cases. He dismissed his appeal, and he dropped all four felony charges in the January 6th case. And this is like a turning point. So now Trump's federal legal questions are gone. Lawfare has fallen apart on the federal side, but there's still the states. And y'all, this has been like nothing we've ever seen. But the lawfare in the states has been unbelievable. You know the case with Alvin Bragg. Alvin Bragg, the Soros-funded DA of New York, the one who's right now trying to try Daniel Penny for keeping people from being murdered on a subway car. That same Alvin Bragg who almost put a bodega owner on trial for defending himself from a drug-addled a guy in his bodega, an old man, by the way. That same guy is the one who tried Donald Trump on charges that had never been used before, tying a state misdemeanor to allegedly tie it to a federal crime. The whole thing was such an appealable mess. Trump was convicted of 34 felony counts. I'm not even reading the article because it's such tripe. But I'm just giving you the summary. Trump was convicted on so-called 34 felony counts. What were they? There were 34 checks that were written. He made each one a separate felony. He didn't make it a felony for having written checks. He made each check a felony. Well, he's got 34 felony counts. Now he's got 34 checks, and the whole freaking thing is appealable. He's not a convicted felon until sentencing occurs. That's the way the court system works. You are not truly a convicted felon until sentencing occurs. The whole thing is on appeal. It's going to be on appeal. But right now, interesting dynamic. Judge Juan Merchan has indefinitely postponed the sentencing and has granted Trump's legal team until next week to file a motion to dismiss. For the judge to suggest that a motion to dismiss may be warranted, it's almost like wink, wink, nod, nod, stomp your foot. I see where this is going, but I need a piece of paper in front of me so I can rule. I have had judges intone that there were certain things. I'll never forget. I was in federal court. I'm an attorney. I was in federal court on a case. Someone had sued a housing authority. I was defending the housing authority. The judge looked at us he called us into chambers and he looked at the other attorney. He said, and I know the plaintiff's lawyer thought he had it going on. And all of a sudden he said, the judge goes, and I won't say who it was, but this old wizened judge, federal court, says, Mr. Plaintiff's lawyer, I assume you understand that you may have sued the wrong people. And immediately you could see his face just fell. And I'm sitting there going, wait, what just happened? And the judge goes, Mr. Defense Lawyer, that's me, I assume that you will file a brief for me, citing the case of so-and-so versus so-and-so, which I assume that I will find compelling. Yes, sir, I will. And I'm right. I'm taking notes. And then he looks at the both of us and he goes, unless, of course, the two of you would like to go out in the hallway and discuss this recent turn of events with the pending motion. Yes, sir. So we went out in the case and settled the case in the hallway.
That's funny. By the way, you do a good KIV/Southern accent. You know, Dale would try to do that all the time, and it was not good. So yours is pretty spot on.
Well, it was not a female judge. So yeah, I didn't do him any justice, apparently.
I put it in the same genre.
Yeah, okay, fine. What how much time I got? I got a call coming. I'll take it just 1 minute. So anyway, the bottom line is Judge Mershon has suddenly said, Trump administration or Trump team, you can file a motion to dismiss. We don't know what he's going to do with it. It's interesting he called for it. Then there's the other one in state court in New York. Letitia James, the attorney general for the state of New York, who ran on Get Trump, who then had Judge Arthur Engeron, who, what a joke that trial was, and they have decided to devalue Trump's properties and claim that he overinflated the values to get loans, all of which, by the way, were approved by the banks and all of which were repaid with interest. That's okay. Nobody was harmed, but apparently they want to find a reason to sue. And oh, by the way, they did. Trump is facing $250 million in fines from that case. It's on appeal. Will it go away? We don't know yet. But Letitia James has said that she intends to fight to tooth and nail. And then you got E. Jean Carroll, the lady who showed up out of nowhere, claiming that in the 1990s, that Trump had sexually assaulted her. Those who say he's been accused of rape, you can say accused, he was never convicted of rape. But the civil jury, not criminal, civil jury, did find sexual misconduct and then claimed that he had defamed her by merely denying the things that had been said about him. That defamed her, and she won a like a $90 million judgment. Unreal. That thing's on appeal right now. I believe it will go away. I got a call on the line one. I haven't even gotten to Georgia Fannie Willis. I'll get to that in a minute. But let me get Michael from Huntsville. Hey, Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I really enjoy your show. And I just wanted to bring up something real quick. All these cases that they are dropping like pancakes.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering why Trump could not sue them for his legal fees, because I'm sure he's paid out millions of dollars on legal fees, and not count all the time he's had to waste going to court and all that bunch of junk.
Yeah, I think first of all, if it's a state case, it'll depend upon state law. Not every matter before the court, you're allowed to claim attorney's fees. In Alabama, we have a thing called the Litigation Accountability Act that says that if you file a frivolous lawsuit and you can prove that it was frivolous and you knew it was when you filed it, that you can reclaim your fees for having had to endure it. You can also, in some criminal proceedings, if it's determined that there was what's called a hostile prosecution, you may be able to claim some costs out of that. But not everything is allowed. It just depends. And if it's a contract action, you have to have a contract express provision that allows you to do it. So it's kind of a weird deal. But in some cases, I think he will. In some cases, I think he's going to be glad just to be done with it and walk away and get it out of his life.
I'm sure of that, too, but it just seems like it's so unfair. Everybody knows that every one of them was bogus to start with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I think the way he might be able to get some fees out of this, if he can find the smoking gun that says they were talking to each other and planning this as a part of an overall plan, then guess what? He's getting some money out of that. Just saying.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Fruit.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I love you. Love your program.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Real quick, I'll close this out. There's the election interference cases from Georgia. I saved the best for last. Fannie Willis. Oh, Fannie. Pray tell, Fannie, what have you done? Fannie Willis right now is in a weird position. Fannie Willis decided she was going to get Trump. She was going to have her day. Oh, man, you talk about just being haughty and filled with herself. But Fannie Willis thought she had it going on, except Fannie decided to hire her boyfriend. Remember that? Tried to hire her boyfriend to come in and having done nothing in his legal career except practice what we call domestic law, which is divorce. He was a divorce lawyer, but he was Fannie's boyfriend. Suddenly he became a special prosecutor, paid three times more than anybody else, to work one of the biggest cases ever to come into the Georgia courts, except that they found that they had lied under oath about their relationship. Suddenly, the question became, can they even stay on the case when they have already lied to the court before? The judge ruled, Fanny, you got to go or he's got to go, but you can't both stay. The Trump team then appealed that and said, why are you letting one stay? They both lied. That has now gone to the Georgia Appeals Court, and the Georgia Appeals Court is considering whether or not Fanny should be taken off the case altogether. If that happens, that case is dead, because I'm going to tell you right now, ain't nobody's going to want to jump into that after Fanny made the mess that she did. I will say this. There was news on that as of four days ago. The Georgia Court of Appeals canceled a hearing that was going to weigh out whether or not President-elect Donald Trump and his co-defendant's appeal of Fannie Willis's disqualification should be considered. There were supposed to be oral arguments scheduled to take place next week, but they have been canceled. I don't know why they've been canceled. No reason or explanation was given. It may just be a holiday scheduling. It may just be the court had another trial it had to pursue or another case it had to pursue first. It may just mean that there was something that needed to get filed, or it may mean that there's been an agreement reached in the background. And the court has determined that in the essence of what's known as judicial economy, it will not waste its time on a hearing since there's about to be an agreement reached. I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out that's the case. Either way, what we're seeing is there's a lawfare armistice. Peace is breaking out in lawfare. You got some things still on appeal. You got some angry liberal prosecutors. You got some people that still think they want a little bit of Trump blood to claim. But I'm saying right now, the majority of it is falling apart. And some of them, I really do believe, my call with Michael a minute ago is prescient. I really do believe that if they can find a smoking gun, we already know that Fannie's boyfriend went to the White House and had coordinating meetings. We don't know what for yet. But I'm telling you, if they find a smoking gun that said this was coordinated effort, purely political in nature, which we believe it was anyway, yeah, there's going to be some retribution. All right, take me to a break, JP. We'll get that break. We'll come right back. I'll get a few text messages, and we're heading towards the Thanksgiving holiday. Yeah, buddy. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. A couple of quick texts, and I'll go to the phones. John from Huntsville got the grades in. Says JP gets an A+ for his awesome Taco Tuesday performance. I also gave Phil, it's after I gave point, oh gosh, after I gave Phil a 10-point deduction for his terrible collard green comments, and after I gave him his 10 points back for his awesome snail comments, Phil's today's winner. With an A++. Congratulations. And by the way, I think you ought to change fry-yay to fish fry-yay. Fish fry-yay. Do you see that? I like what he did there.
Don't encourage the gas station fried
fish. The gas station fried fish. We can't do that. Gary from Decatur said, so you're saying in certain states a rogue prosecutor can financially ruin or burden any citizen without any form of retribution or accountability by them? Yeah, if you can prove that there was like zero basis, and it depends on the state. It's going to be state law. If it's a state prosecutor, state law will govern whether or not you have a right to claim your costs and fees for a rogue prosecution. But you have to prove it's rogue. If they didn't meet the burden and you're found and you're acquitted, then, most times you take the win. But if you can prove that there was literally malice involved, then certainly you may have an opportunity. And then lastly, Jack Smith directs $50 million ongoing after Trump got, Dave Madison talking about how much it costs for Jack Smith to do his work. Absolutely. Oh, let me go to the phones. Jeff from Indiana. Jeffro, how you doing, buddy?
I'm full of the tick after eating all them delicious
ribs.
Did
you eat that entire rack of ribs, man? What'd you have, a half rack or a whole rack? What was that?
I had a whole rack, but I only ate about half of it.
Man. Listen, that's
it was good.
You sent that picture. Like most of the time, you send us pictures of pickled eggs and fried fish, and this time it was a winner of a picture.
I had to make you hungry.
Yeah, well, you worked. Hey, I got about 20 seconds left here. I got to ask you, did you hear the WKRP in Cincinnati turkey drop we did a while ago?
Oh, I love that. I've watched that every year.
That's the best, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Hey, on Fannie Willis.
Yeah, let's be quick.
You know, she perjured herself and everything.
Yeah.
Who prosecutes the prosecutor?
Well, that's just it. There's the question that's about whether she's going to be disbarred. I mean, that's a thing.
Yeah, but who prosecutes her for lying under oath?
Other prosecutors do. That's who. They'll assign a prosecutor. She'll be. I mean, if she goes to jail, she goes to jail. But I don't think it's going to happen. Brother, I hate it, but the music's already playing, man. You have a good night.
Have a good one, Phil.
See you, buddy. That was a quick call. Darn, my fault partly. Hey, listen, do not forget, there's more of us than there are of them. God is still on his throne. Stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.